put my other stuff on. And I have to get organized. 2 weeks ago, Oscar came up to me after church. He said, "You're speaking in 2 weeks." And I said, "Oh, thanks." So I ask the Lord, only you can give me something to speak about, because you know that I am no scholar, and I am no, especially a biblical scholar, but he gave me something. So I'm gonna start this out with a quick prayer. You know, Lord, thank you for the opportunity you've given me today, Father, and I just thank you for showing me what you want me to say today, Father, and let your words flow through me. And not my words, but your words be heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this is God's love real? That's a question. Do we all believe that? You know, not being a biblical scholar, as I said, I went through and read a bunch of different verses. And you know, I started out the very beginning. And I thought to myself, that can't possibly be in the very first book of the Bible. And I read Genesis 1:27, and it said, God created man in his own image. And I thought to myself, wow. If I'm in his own image, how much love did he have to pour onto me to be just like him? And I'm thinking, man, that's just not possible. And then I got to thinking, you know, when I was a kid, when I was born, when my mom and dad had me, you know, everybody here who's had a child, when you grab that little baby first thing in the morning or first thing after it's born, you think, everybody says, oh, he looks just like his mom, or he looks just like his dad, or he's got his dad's nose and his mom's eyes. And it's a perfect little child in your arms. And when God created us all in his image, that's exactly what he thought. We're going to be just like him. But he knew that Adam still had, he gave him free will, and he knew that he was still going to go to the tree. But that didn't waver God's love for Adam. Not one bit. I remember when I was a kid, I started wearing glasses when I was about 2 years old. And I was always the kid who ran around the neighborhood with the glasses with the tape on the corner, you know, holding them together. I was a little geeky kid, everybody made fun of, you know. And you know, when I was growing up, you know, if I broke my glasses, that was a big expense for my mom and dad. And, you know, that was a fault for me, you know. It wasn't a fault because I was just being a kid, but I didn't realize what kind of consequences it had for them to do that. They have to buy me a new pair of glasses. There wasn't an optometrist on every corner back then either. We had to go downtown Cincinnati to get them done. I mean, it was a big, big deal. But my mom and dad never said anything to me about me breaking my glasses. See, their love for me was the same when I was five, walking around with the tape on, as it was the day I was born. See, they saw me as their perfect child. I shouldn't say perfect because that was far from true. But as their child, just as God sees us as his child. When he created man, he saw man as his child. And he loved him endearingly without any second thoughts, without anything, no matter what Adam was going to do, whatever our Adam is going to do, he's going to still love us. You know, And as we grow older, you know, and we get a little smarter, or at least we think we're getting a little smarter in our lives. You know, we go to school and we think, oh boy, I can do this. You know, how many of us out there have been a big hotshot once in a while in our life? I can see we're all smiling, so I can see it's all of us. I can remember when I was a teenager, and my brother, who's 6 years older than me, was always an engineer. He was always could fix stuff, and he used to build hot rods. Well, I'm 16 years old. He's 6 years older than me. He built a hot rod, and he wanted a different car, so he gave me his hot rod. Tyler should listen to this. And I can remember, I grew up in Reading, Ohio, and I can remember going down to Frisch's down on Reading Road in Roselawn, and that's where everybody raced from. You pulled out of the parking lot, and you went from traffic light to traffic light all the way up to Sharonville, or until the cops stopped you, whatever came first. And usually they didn't stop you because they knew who you were. But we try things as we grow older. We do things as we grow older and not think of them as consequences. To our parents, you know, I was raised Catholic, so I knew Jesus. I've heard the word Jesus since I was five. I knew God. I've heard the word God. But I didn't know who he really was. See, all the things that I've done in my life, some have been good, some have been bad. Some of the situations in my life have been really pretty traumatic, on even for me, in my situation. You know, in my life, I know there have been traumatic things in for people in this room. But see, through all the mistakes, God never faltered in his love for me. The things that I did, he never faltered. And he got me through things that I, when I look back now, that I should have never gotten through if it wasn't for the grace of God and the love of God. I can count on both hands where I put myself in places where I should have never survived. Never survived. One was a 100-mile-an-hour head-on collision in a drag race with another car. And no one got hurt. You know, I was 20 years old. So, you know, the Lord has been really dealing with me and accepting his love. Accepting that it is real in my life, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. You know, he knows the mistakes are going to be made because we're not perfect people. People make mistakes every day. Some are big, some are little. Some are, you know, totally inconsequential. I mean, how many times have you folks here today done something in your life and say, man, I know better than that. Why did I do that? That was really stupid. Well, I've been stupid a lot. And it's okay, you know? It's okay to be stupid. And it's a tremendous relief in my life now that I know the Lord as I know him, that I can be stupid, and the love that he's shown from the very beginning, from the creation of man, that same love that he showed when he created us in his image is still the same today as it was yesterday, as it's going to be tomorrow, and it's going to be forever. Am I gonna falter on that idea? Sure, I'm going to do something sometime in my life, even today, at 68 years old. I'm going to say, Lord couldn't love me through that, but He will. He will. I know I need to keep God, need to know what I need to do to keep God loving me. And He's asked us to do it in very simple ways, you know. He doesn't put a lot of pressure on us. Love the Lord as love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I think a lot of that goes right back to the very, very beginning, the very genesis of what the word love is. We have to love ourselves. You know, we have to learn to do that too. Because, see, that's really important. I've found that out too, the hard way. I found it out more than once. It's easy for me to live in the past. It's easy for me to go, man, you are really a bad guy. And you know, the truth is, I'm not a bad guy. I'm just a regular person walking this earth every day doing my little thing, and I'm making mistakes. See, when I can forgive myself of my mistakes, the Lord can forgive myself of my mistakes. See, He wants us to give it all to Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to not be shy. You know, people are shy. People are afraid. People are afraid of. We hear it all the time. You know, well, Lord's going to throw this down on you if you don't do this, and if you don't act this way, you're going to. No. See, we shouldn't have that fear. We should have the spirit of life in us, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who saved us. You know, that we're people, we're special people on this earth. You know, there are different denominations, and all of them are different. All of them have different philosophies. But all of them believe that there is one God. You know? And what they don't understand is how much God, that one God, loves each and every one of them. See, and they need to get to the inner self. They need to get to their inner self, and they need to get to God's inner self. See, God's inner self is pure. The pure love that He has for us. You know, there's no oil in the vinegar, as they say. You know, it's pure. And He wants us to be strong in Him every day. And He wants us to be faithful to Him every day. And my glasses are sliding off the thing here. He asks us to do just a simple thing. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord with all your heart. You know, He gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Well, you know, if we have any righteousness in us all, those are simple to follow. The hardest one's the love one, because we can all be judgmental. We can all be opinionated. And see, it's tired of being opinionated. It's tired. I'm tired of it. I said it in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about something. Remember, Brenda? And I said, this is just my opinion. I opened my mouth and I said, this is just my opinion. We were in Psalm 73 and was talking about the people speaking out and people following them. And I said, the problem today is the person who yells the loudest gets the most. And, you know, that shouldn't be. Just because you can yell loud doesn't mean you should be right all the time. See, we need reason in our life. We need God in our life, see, because God will guide us. He puts us on a path. He puts us on a path that is may not be the one we want to be on, but it's what we need to be on. We were talking, I got to take a glass of water. We were talking the other day, I think, on a radio show about the path, and it reminded me of the old Yogi Berra axiom. It says, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Well, you know, yeah, that's right. You take it. You take, but see, you have a choice. We have a choice when we come to the fork in the road. See, our fork in the road should be God's path, not ours. See, if we take our path, we're going down the wrong way. Because that's where we're going to come into all the stumbling and all the falling around. And see, if we take God's path, we still may have that. But guess what? It's a whole lot peaceful, more peaceful. Because see, we'll have His wisdom in our life, and we'll have His love in our life, and we'll have Him watching over each and everything we do. And see, and with His Spirit in us, as we talk about here in this church a lot, the Spirit of God in each and every one of us, see, that gives us a clear mind. And it gives us a clear mind to understand His love for each and every one of us. I need to go to the doctor, dear. I've been doing this for 6 months. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable reasonable service. Key word is reasonable. Footnote says, God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for His children. He wants us to be new people with renewed minds, living to honor and obey Him. Since He wants only what is best for us, and since He gave His Son to make our new life possible, we should joyfully volunteer as living sacrifices for His services. See, remember what I said. Reasonable service. I looked up the word reasonable in the dictionary. It's pretty interesting. It has three meanings. One is fair and sensible. Isn't God fair? Isn't He sensible? See, isn't his Spirit in us fair and sensible in all of our doings? Absolutely. See, and that's what He wants us to be. He wants us to be fair and sensible. The other one is fairly or moderately good. See, I look at this where it says reasonable service. He's saying to me, hey, I don't have to be perfect. If I'm fairly good or moderately good, that's okay. You know, because He knows we're not perfect. The third one is the one that got me, though. It's not too expensive. What's our price? You know, is it everything we do? Is it everything we have to tiptoe around, trying to make everybody look at us and say, "Oh, look at him! He's a great Christian guy. He's this, or he's that, or look at this person. Oh, I wish I could be like him." No, it's one thing that we've been talking about the whole time. Love the Lord with all your heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the one thing. See, it's not too expensive. It's one thing. Not 100, not 1,000, not 2. See, I thought that was unbelievable when that came to me. Because for me, that sure made my life a whole lot easier. It made me think, I don't need to put on some perception. I don't need to be anybody but who I am. That's who I need to be. I need to be Mike. I don't need to be Clyde. I don't need to be Oscar. I don't need to be Randy, you know. I don't need to show anybody anything but who I am. And if I can be the best that I can be, that's all God is asking me to be. The best that I can be. And His love does not falter when that happens. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. See, for me, I love that. I love that. Because if I try and be somebody else, I'm making a big mistake. Big mistake. Excuse me. Romans 8:37-39 says, "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." That means none. That's exactly what that means, none. Death or life, angels or demons, present or the future. And you can put the past in there too. It's time for everybody to quit living in the past. Start living in today. Nor height or depth. No matter how high you think you're getting up and walking around in this world, or how low you can get, nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Not a thing. I read this the other day, and I'm going to finish with this real quickly. It's Ephesians 2, and it's out of the Message. It wasn't so long ago that we were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose His temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, unending love, He embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this all on His own without any help from us. He didn't need us, that's for sure. Then He picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus. Think about that, folks. He didn't need us to show Him how to love us. We didn't have to go around doing all kinds of good deeds and throw money at people and, you know, all this stuff. All He asked us to do is be the best we can be each and every day. Love our neighbor and love ourselves and love God. That's all He's asking us to do today. He didn't need us to do anything except love. That's it. So is God's love real? I'm here today saying it's very real. It's very real in the world. All we need to do is look for it. We don't look for it. We look for the negative rather than the positive, because it's easy to do. It's easier to do. It's all over the TV. It's all over the newspaper. It's all over the radio. All you got to do is look. It'll pop up. See, but God is moving throughout the earth right now. And His love is flowing throughout the earth right now. And even in the worst situations and things going on in the world right now, God is still moving. He's showing His love. You know, the stuff in Paris last week, we prayed about the thing in Paris last week. There were stories of people that I saw that were helping people that they never knew, you know. Came out of the woodwork, were helping people that were injured or shot, and you know, that was God's love moving. You know, that wasn't because I think it's the right thing to do. Most people would be scared to death to do that, to be honest with you. In today's world, I think most people would just stand back and go, oh, that's terrible. What am I supposed to do? But these people stepped out because the Lord said, step out. They didn't know it. That's what happened. And I'm going to finish with this. And I think you all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God sent His only Son in the world to save us. That was the ultimate sacrifice. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that would sacrifice their son for that. There may be. But that's how much God loved us. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us, so we can have eternal life. And there's no bigger reward than that. So is God's love real? I'm here today to say it absolutely is. I'm done. Please.